This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Back in the early 80s, four lanky Brits calling themselves Depeche Mode, armed only with primitive synthesizers, started churning out pop hits. Nearly 40 years later, they have sold over 100 million albums and are one of the most popular live acts on Earth. This week, they will become the first band ever to play four consecutive sold-out shows at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles.
Rico caught up with Depeche Mode's main songwriter Martin Gore and his fellow founding member Andy Fletcher. They told him the band was inspired by the pioneering German synthesizer band Kraftwerk, but according to Andy, they cut their teeth with more traditional instruments.
We were actually more of a conventional band in the beginning. Only Martin had a synthesizer, and that's when these very small and cheap monophonic synthesizers were available. And Vince Clarke, who was our leader at the time, made a decision that we were to become all electronic.
Just a sort of blanket rule. It was like, today we become synth rockers.
And in fact, up till the late 80s, I don't think we ever picked up another guitar.
Yeah, I think there was one track that was a B-side
then,
or something.
And then.
Oh, yeah, and then you're right. That had a bit of guitar on it, yeah.
What was your response to that? Were you excited to go down that route?
Well, it was very hard for me because I'd never played a keyboard in my life. So that was pretty tough.
And of course, the keyboards at that time were incredibly primitive. It wasn't always easy to make them work, is my understanding.
Yeah, things that you take for granted these days were very, very difficult back then.
Like, for instance, what?
The most disastrous story we have, I think, was when we played in a place called Bochum in Germany in about 1982. And we were using a prototype PPG synthesizer back then. And they were renowned for being not very roadworthy. And, you know, we heard that Kraftwerk were coming to the gig. And of course, it broke down.
Oh, no.
So for the whole set, the synth that I played just wasn't working. So it was quite disastrous and quite humiliating in front of our idols.
Oh my God. What did they, did you speak to them afterwards?
No, they left.
They thought no competition.
The music of your early days was, if I'm all right saying so, a little more poppy, and then fairly quickly it became quite dark. You began to attract fans who tended to favor a lot of black in their outfits, let us say. What prompted that tonal shift? I mean, I know it's actually kind of a dark political moment at that time, certainly in England.
Yeah, I think more than anything else, I think it was just growing a little bit older. You know, when we were making Speak and Spell, I think we just couldn't believe our luck. We were just along for the ride with Vince, and then suddenly, you know, Vince left the band and I was kind of thrown into the hot seat.
Because he was the main songwriter until he left, and then you became it.
Yeah. So, you know, with Construction Time Again, which came out in 1983, I think that was the first real signs of promise, really, I suppose, that we could do something different than just churning out pop music.
I'm actually very glad you bring up that album because it has my favorite Depeche Mode song on it, Everything Counts. Can you tell us a little bit about that song? What was the genesis of it?
I think that you know, up until Spirit, Construction Time Again was the only album that was a kind of social commentary. And I think it was just down to us traveling a lot. You know, we did our first Asian tour and we saw more poverty and stuff like that. I mean, England wasn't exactly in a great place at the time, but then it kind of puts things into perspective when you travel to Thailand and places like that. I think that's what influenced that album and that track in particular.
This might be a good time to talk about your most recent single called Where's the Revolution. What inspired that track?
You know, I started writing songs for this album towards the end of 2015, and I just felt that the world was in a horrible place. Humanity seemed to be losing its way. Where's the Revolution was just one of those tracks. it just feels like we need to be doing something. We need to be finding our way back to the path.
The song almost seems to be scolding listeners for being complacent, and it's kind of begging for a popular uprising. Almost literally, that's what the chorus is. But as I was listening, it occurred to me that there is kind of a political revolution afoot, but it's in the form of populism.
That's interesting. And when Martin felt the world was in a bad place in 2015, I mean, a lot's happened since then, like Brexit. And I don't think Martin's alluding to the revolution of populism, but it's been very good for us releasing the album now, because it really seems to be really now, and that's important.
Obviously, this populism is not what you're calling for, but what happens? There's a revolution happening, but it's not the revolution you were hoping for. What do you do when the people rise up, but not in the way you wish?
You know, I've thought about that, and it's just a shame that maybe what I was feeling back in 2015 was just a lot of anger and a lot of frustration by people. And unfortunately, it seems to have been misplaced and put into populism, and the world is a much worse place for it.
Your work has been cited as an influence by innumerable bands. Which musicians were maybe you most proud to learn you inspired?
One of the things that I love about all the different people that cite us as influences is that they come from so many different genres. If it had just been like electronic musicians saying we were inspired by you, that would be fantastic, but it wouldn't be as amazing as the fact that we've inspired heavy metal people.
Which?
I remember seeing somewhere, I swear I saw somewhere once, Anthrax.
To be honest, though, I think the thing Martin's most proud of is the Johnny Cash version of Personal Jesus.
Oh, right, Johnny Cash's cover.
Martin was into Johnny Cash when you were young, weren't you?
Yeah. One of my friends called me and said, I just heard Johnny Cash singing Personal Jesus on the radio. And I said, you're joking. I honestly did not believe him.
Did you expect, especially with a form of music that was so at the time very edgy and very novel, did you expect to still be doing it this many years later?
No. I mean,
We thought we would last a few years.
If that. When people ask us, you know, what are you most proud of in your career? What moment, you know, they want us to be like very specific about it. The thing that I'm most proud of is that we're still here 37 years later. I mean, that is amazing to me.
That and the Johnny Cash.
Yeah, and that. Yeah, and that as well.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares.
Martin Gore and Andy Fletcher of Depeche Mode, interpreted here by Johnny Cash, of course. Last weekend, the band was nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.